You're in Nehemiah chapter 13? Yes, it's in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, chapter 13. Let's go to verse 23. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king of all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. That's a verse there. The best of men have fallen to women. And yeah, all the men got quiet. Getting quiet ain't gonna change. The best of them have fallen. By the way, ladies, there's a such thing as an outlandish woman. As the 2012, we call them off the chain. All right. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil? Transgress against our God and marrying strange wives? One of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers, and appointed the wards of the priest and the Levites, every one in his business. And the wood, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. Lord, add the reading, add the blessing to the reading of thy word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. I pray, God, that you help us. Please, Lord. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. The Jews. God's chosen people. Let me say that again. The Jews. God's chosen people. Can I borrow an amen there? Okay. Now, we don't have anything to do with that. God chooses whom he chooses. Now, we're not talking about for salvation. Okay. God will have all to be saved, coming to the knowledge of the truth. But the Jews are God's chosen people. He took particular interest in them. It was his design and his will, his purpose and his plan to utilize them as his instrument to the whole world. So he exposed himself to them differently than he did everyone else. He revealed his glory. He led them personally. He established laws. He gave them leaders. He provided for their kings. He heard their prayer. He delivered them from bondage. He blessed them miraculously. He offered great covenant, great promise, great vows to the Jews. You know that their sin and their degradation and their wickedness resulted in what we call captivity. They were snatched from their homeland and taken to Babylon. 70-year captivity in the land of Babylon. I'm telling you, in the land of Babylon, it was as bad as it could get. I mean, it was wicked. It was vile. You read the book of the Revelation, and as God judges the system of Babylon, look at the end of Revelation, you see Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen. John the Revelator said that Babylon's sin had piled all the way up to heaven. Babylon the Great is fallen. Babylon the Great is fallen. The book of the Revelation. The wicked, vile system full of debauchery and depravity has fallen. That happens in the book of the Revelation. But you can imagine Babylon in its prime, in its strength, in its aura. Wickedness, ungodliness, idolatry, immorality, insensitivity, insanity, if you would. Characteristic of Babylon. This is where Jews had to be captive. 70 years. No temple. No worship of God. No songs to sing. If they sang songs, they got beat for it. Babylon, there was no joy. There was no excitement. And here they are in the land of Babylon until God brings deliverance. Somebody thank God that he always brings deliverance. Amen. And we find Cyrus, king of Persia, later orders and allows the first contingency of people to go back to Jerusalem. And we know that the first leader, Zerubbabel, he leads his people back there, and they rebuild the temple. And then, of course, after him, we find others are headed back there, one by the name of Ezra, who then begins to take, now that the temple has been built, and to reform the people and to re-instruct them on how they should be living, how they should be doing, the revival of laws and proper ordinances and statutes that since they left Jerusalem and now have returned, Ezra begins to challenge them. Now that you're back where you're supposed to be, do what you're supposed to do. This is what Ezra's doing. And then Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the cupbearer in the land of Persia. And he gets word that back in Jerusalem, his homeland, the city is in ruins. Finds out the walls are broken down. The walls are the protection from the enemy. They've been ruined. They've been destroyed. Wait, the temple's up, but the walls are down. Nehemiah, wait a minute. Nehemiah had never experienced what it is to have it rough. I'm talking about he had the biggest comfort zone job you could think of. Cupbearer, pretty important. Taste the king's food to make sure it's fine before he eats it. The king never got poisoned, but if you were the cupbearer, all right, that's it, because you're tasting this food for him. This is a very prestigious position, and here Nehemiah finds himself, but yet he gets word that God's people are back in Jerusalem, his people, from where he is, and in the land of Jerusalem, the walls have been broken down. If you know the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah gets challenged to go back. He gets authorization for the king, who, by the way, is not a Jew, but because he saw the sincerity and the passion of Nehemiah's heart, gave him permission to go back home. And by the way, even people that don't walk with God, if they see you real, God will work on them. Sends them home. Three kinds of people. One that said, some who don't know what's going on, some who watch what's going on, and others who make it happen. Some who don't know what's happening, some who watch what's happening, and some who make things happen. Nehemiah was somebody that made things happen. He goes back to Jerusalem. And there, he leads the people to rebuild the walls. He's met with opposition, Sanballat and Tobiah and others that are there trying to stop him, but he's not deterred. He's not delayed like they want him to be. He's determined to do what he came to do. And by the way, I love the verse in Nehemiah that says, so built we the wall. Amen. The walls went up. Thank the Lord. He finished the walls and led the people and taught the people. And then began to reform the people. But by the time we come to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13, Nehemiah says in verse 23, I noticed something in those days. He said, Jews in their own land had married people who were living in their land from other lands. Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Could I tell you, enemies of God. Perpetual enemies of God. But they're in the land. And here's the amazing thing. There's a statement that jumped out at me in this passage. Verse 24. Their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod. Watch this now. Could not speak in the Jews' language. Can I get you to borrow your pupils for a moment? They're Jews that can't speak Jew. They don't even know their own Hebrew tongue. Now here's what happened. Their daddies or whomever, their daddies married the wrong kind of women. And the children hanging with mama, start speaking what mama spoke. And they couldn't speak what they were supposed to speak, even though they were in their own land. And when Nehemiah saw it, he was appalled. He was discouraged, to say the least. He could not understand how God's people who had been delivered, how God's people who had been chosen, how God's people who had been blessed, how God's people who had been watched over, how God's people who had been provided for, how God's people who had been protected, how God's people who had been preserved, how God's people who had been placed in that land, how God's people who had been saved and snatched from a land of misery and sorrow could actually be Jews and not speak their own language. But the truth of the matter is, they couldn't speak their own language because their families had married those from other cultures and other lands that spoke other languages, and thereby they could not speak how they should. And I'm going to try to, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, address the subject today that I've titled, God's people can't speak their own language. And I hope God helped me preach this. Because we're living in a day, by the way, can't nobody steal me out of God's hands. Let me say that again. Once saved, always saved. We believe in the doctrine of eternal security because it is a doctrine preached in the Word of God. You know what that means? When God saved me and I got adopted into the family of Almighty God, no matter what I do, no matter where I go, no matter what anybody tries to do to me, I will always be a child of God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Holy Ghost my Comforter. Word of God my guide. And heaven is my home. I'm glad that my salvation is not based on me, because I'd lose it every day, and so would you. Amen. I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm heaven bound. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm looking forward to the day that I'll get up out of here. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we didn't get out of here the day we got saved. God left us here. And the truth of the matter is that although we are the children of God, we're surrounded by folks every day that don't belong to Almighty God. Hey, I hear people say, everybody's God's children. That is not true. You've got to come to God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen to me. You may have been created by God, but you don't become God's child until you accept His Son as your Lord and Savior. And the sad thing about it is, we've got God's people today that are living in this world. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. But the problem is, they've gotten hooked up into, they've gotten linked up to, they're drowning down in the mess of society and the status quo of this world. And instead of talking like Christian, they're talking in the wrong language. And today, I want to preach the message that Nehemiah preached in Nehemiah 13 when he discovered that God's people could not speak their own language. If you're taking notes today, write this down. There were unequal relationships. Unequal relationships. Watch this now. They had married wives of Ashdod, Ammon, and of Moab. Let me say that again. Ashdod, Ammon, and of Moab. Now, I don't have time to look there, but if you look in Deuteronomy 7:3 and Malachi 2:11, Deuteronomy 7 verse 3, Malachi chapter 2 verse 11, God makes it very clear that you disgrace him and you defile him when those people as Jews married outside of their Jewish heritage. Now, I don't want you to think that God was endorsing racism or segregation. He was not saying, don't marry them because they're the wrong color. Don't marry them because they're from the wrong place. He was saying, don't marry them because they live a different way. They act a different way. They serve a different way. They handle themselves a different way. And when you marry Ashdod and you marry Moab and you marry Ammon, you start acting like Ashdod, acting like Moab, and acting like Ammon. And it breaks my heart today to find out people who are supposed to be a spouse to the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be a chaste, pure virgin. We've been bought with the price. God has saved us and delivered. And every day, some of you a merit to the world. I wish I had time to preach this. If you're taking notes, write down unequal relationships. You know what they link you up with? The wrong Lord, the wrong laws, the wrong land, and the wrong lifestyle. Take those L's down and write them. The wrong Lord, the wrong laws, the wrong land, the wrong lifestyle. I hate to bust your bubble, Jews, but Ashdod doesn't worship Jehovah. Ashdod doesn't read the law. Ashdod ain't from this land. Ashdod don't live this way. I hate to bust your bubble, but Ammon doesn't worship the Lord. Ammon doesn't take heed to the law. Ammon ain't from this land. Ammon doesn't have the right lifestyle. Moab doesn't worship the Lord. Moab doesn't live by the law. Moab ain't from the land. Moab doesn't live the lifestyle. And my friend, every day, when you let this world decide what you're going to love and what you're going to watch and what you're going to wear and where you're going to go and what you're going to do, I want to tell you today that when you let the world out there tell you what to do, you know what you're doing? You're embracing a different Lord, different laws, a different land, and a different lifestyle. You know why? God's people can't speak their own language because they're too busy learning the wrong one. Watch this now. Their children could not speak the Jews' language. How many of you either have experienced or have seen someone whose parents are from another country and the child is from here and the parent speaks fluently and then the child speaks somewhat, and the grandchild don't speak it at all? You know what happened? What happened is, even though the genes say one thing, huh? You understand what I'm saying? Even though the way the person is made up physiologically, even though the DNA describes one thing, what they've gotten around, the environment says another. And even though grandmama may have only spoke Spanish and mama spoke Spanish, but now all of a sudden, grandson, all he can say is hola. And won't know what you say back. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that means that somehow or another, either the parents have not exposed the children to the language, or the children have rejected the exposure. Now, when we come to a linguistics issue, it's in America. That's not a right or wrong. If a mom or dad doesn't decide to teach their parent that language, that's their choice. But when it comes to the context of the scripture, and practically today, when you're a Christian, you don't have the right to choose how you're going to talk and to choose how you're going to walk and choose how. There are some of you that can't. You can't. Some of these kids today, they can't speak gospel because they speak rap. Hear me now. They can't speak modesty. Amen. Because they speak sizzle behind. Smoke coming out when they walk. I'm telling the truth. Because there are parents that are more concerned about their children being faddish than they are about their children being faithful. They can't speak it. They can't speak it. It's a shame. The stuff that I used to know at 5, some of our kids don't know at 21. Come on. They can't speak it. Listen. They can't speak Bible reading. All they speak is Facebook. All they speak is Twitter. All they speak is text. Listen to me. They can't even speak make their bed because they're too busy laying in somebody else's. They can't speak. I'm not asking you to speak some foreign language. I'm asking you to speak the language of your heritage, the language of God, the language that saved you. Ashdod, Ammon, Moab. Excuse me, parents. You have a responsibility to expose your children
to the right language. Some of these kids can't even speak English because they speak so much slang. Amen. They can't speak respectful because their parents have become friends with them. I wish somebody helped me preach. They can't speak church because they speak AAU. So mamas and daddies have taught them it's okay to play in the league, miss church every Sunday. That's not your language. Your language say go to church. Well, if I got a game at church, I skip game. I wish somebody helped me preach. I played sports coming up. Never missed one church service for a game. And never missed one church service for a practice. And I've never missed church service on a flight. Amen. If I'm leaving somewhere and I can't land in time to get to church, I'll go to church and fly afterward. Now, you call me narrow-minded, but guess what? I don't want to be in the middle of a Christian language, of a Christian conversation, and I'm going, huh, what happened? Who is Nehemiah? Who is Ezra? Isaac? Jacob? John? We talk about the Bible. Some of you kids can't figure out what you lost, but we bring up Drake and Justin Bieber and Britney and Beyonce and all the rest of them fools, and all of a sudden you can sing the lingo fast, and you can say, oh, I love Jesus! I don't want to lose my kids. And by the way, I've heard that the way you keep your children in linguistics to learn the language that you know is keep talking to them around the house. And every once in a while, some parents, when you wake your kids up, quote the Bible. When you pray at lunch, quote the Bible. When they go to bed, quote the Bible. Shut the TV off. Shut the DVD off. Shut the iPad off. Every once in a while, just lift Jesus up. Why? Because we want to talk the language. By the way, there are a lot of adults. You're not children, but you're children of God. You don't speak language. You know what? You've intermarried. Mm-hmm. You have joined in union with those of a different Lord, a different land, a different law, a different lifestyle. Hey, I hate to tell you, but some of them folk you run with don't have the same Lord you have. Some of the folk you holler at don't have the same land you have. Amen. Some of the folk you chill with, they don't read the same law you have. And no wonder some of them folks that you roll with don't have the same lifestyle you have. You better be careful where you find yourself on Saturday night. You better be careful where you find yourself on Friday night. You better be careful who your friends are on Facebook. You better be careful who you're sitting on the phone with having 2, 3, 4, 5 conversations. Young lady, you better be careful that bozo you start dating. He'll have you talking the wrong language. Amen. And here's the world today. That's exactly what has happened. Let me hasten. They had unequal relationships, and thereby there was an unthinkable reality. Notice now, they spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. They were chameleons. You understand? They abandoned their cause and thereby adapted to other cultures. You hear me now? They spoke half a wrong tongue and zero the right tongue. And it's amazing. These kids that have grown up in church and have been exposed to the gospel, they can't speak Christian and only halfway good at the world. What a shame. Hey, could I tell you, this world wants to drown your children and drown you. Amen. There's a whole bunch out there that have you gasping for air. Amen. I'm talking about humanism, secularism, liberalism, pantheism, relativism, atheism, agnosticism, polytheism. Amen. All of that. Feminism, all of that mess out there that tries to tell you that you can do your own thing. Any ism. Amen. That isn't about the one true God is an ism that needs to go out of here. They spoke whatever the people spoke. Now we've let the world tell us what's okay. And listen now, we've gone from Christian and worldly to Christian worldly. It used to be Christian and this. Now it's Christian this. You don't mix God and the devil and make it godly because you mix a little God in it. I wish somebody. I heard a preacher tell a story about a young man whose mama made a surprise for him. Brought him in the house and said, I got something for you. Made him some brownies. And said, son, I made you some special brownies. Organic eggs. Organic butter. A little bit of organic everything. I mean, these are the best brownies. I use the choicest ingredients to make these brownies. Boy, he could smell them. She said, I got a little secret ingredient in there that I'm not going to tell you about. But it's good. And he said, well, you got me thinking. What you put in there? No, go on and eat it. Don't worry about it. It's good. Smell it. Smell good. You won't even be able to taste what I put in there. It's the consistency is the same. It mix in good. The batter still look the same, complex, everything. Just a little secret ingredient. But Mom, tell me what it. No. Mom, tell me. Finally, she said, oh, okay, fine, I'll tell you. I went out in the backyard and got some organic dog poop. And I put it in there. But you can't tell. It's just mixed in good. And it's the best you could find anyway. I want to ask a question. How many of you eat that brownie? I said, how many of you eat that brownie? Then you tell me why it's okay to go to a good church that's mixed in poop. You tell me why it's okay to listen to a song that's got good words, but it's got the instrumentation, and it's got people that look just like the devil. Come on, somebody help me preach. Listen. God doesn't work that way. You're all pure or you're not. And the moment you have entered any ingredients that disgraces God, it ceases to be good. And the reason why our folks have embraced mess is because we tolerate junk. Some people say, I go there, I listen to that, I wear that, but it's got a lot of good in it. I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, but I wouldn't eat one out the dumpster. If you got to dig through a bunch of junk to find some good, it ain't no good no more. I've been accused of being so narrow because God's narrow. I'm narrow about dress. I'm narrow about music. I'm narrow about shows. I'm narrow about movies. I'm narrow about language. It ain't that bad of a word. It ain't that bad of a song. It ain't that bad of an outfit. My standard's not that bad. Bad's bad enough. Come on now. Listen, if it ain't God, it ain't good. And this is where they bought into. Let me hasten. An unfortunate reprimand. I've got to hurry. And I'm going to close this thing up. You're getting the picture. I contended with them. They got whooped by Nehemiah. Whooped. It's unfortunate that they were God's people and they had to get whooped. But the truth of the matter is, the best thing for some of God's folk is a whooping. An unfortunate reprimand. Notice the position he took. I contended with them. I cursed them. And by the way, he didn't cuss at them. That's not what he's saying when he cursed them. He is simply saying, because you've dishonored God, you are subject to the cursing and not the blessing of God. And no matter how much the world makes you think they got what you need, when you leave God for them, you go from blessing to curse. And there are people in here today whose lives are a mess because you mix them with mess. And you're suffering the consequences of sin. His position. Notice, if you would, also his precept. I've got to hurry. Ye shall not give your daughters to their sons. He gave them the precept. He reminded them of the law. Folks, let's get back to the Bible. Let's not let status quo and culture dictate our lifestyle. I don't care what they're wearing. They all saying it. They all going. All the kids doing it now. Don't have nothing to do with the precepts of the Word of God. You're going to have to live by principle, because winds and waves of culture and trend will always shift and fluctuate. What used to be out of style is back in style. What used to be in style is back out of style. But for the believer, the Bible is always in style. The precept, the precedent. The precedent was Solomon 26. You should have known better. Solomon had a maiden Shay drink pink lemonade. No king like him. But the women got him. Women got him. Boy, isn't it amazing? Things hadn't changed. The best of men fall to the women. You know why? They buy into the principle, or the theory. It's just a little bad. One click, one magazine, one night, one time, one joint, one look. Change your wife. What you mean, one look? One look, you one fool. Uno. I know that word. And the punishment. Notice. By the way, 27. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil? In other words, it implies they tried to excuse themselves. Nehemiah said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I hear people say all the time, I sure wish I knew the Bible more. I sure wish you came to church more. How you going to learn it if you don't come to church? How you going to learn it if you don't read it? And if you barely know it, what your kids going to know? I wish somebody helped me preach. I got down off the pulpit. just this past week. Where was I preaching? Where did I just come from Thursday? North Carolina. I was just preaching in North Carolina. And I walked down off the platform on Thursday night. I was in Durham. And Kevin and Kobe, two of my sons, were standing. Kobe was crying. I said, it's been a long day. We had a five-hour trip. We've been in church. Three different preachers been preaching. I said, the boy was ready to go eat. Maybe hungry. Maybe he wet himself. Something while he was asleep. Something. He was crying. I said, what's wrong? He said, I just love God so much. I said, what, you sure God's trying to tell you? Yes, sir. So what, God trying to tell me to tell more people about Jesus? I said, thank you, Lord. I took him down on the altar to pray. So you ask God help you pray more about Jesus. Hey, let me tell you something. It's amazing. Some folks, we can't get our kids to say that, but they SpongeBob, Dora. And it's amazing. We got a daycare. They come 3, 4, 5, 6 cussing. 3, 4, 5, 6. Know what that means? Mom and daddy got mess on them kids watching, sitting there watching it right with them. But can't quote a Bible verse the first. I want my kids to speak God's language. It's your job to expose them to what's right and to protect them from what's wrong. And by the way, a whole lot of that junk, you don't need to say, honey, leave the room. You need to turn it off for your own self. I can't believe some people ask me all the time, have you seen this movie? And I say no. And then I find out from somebody what it was about. And I wonder, how in the world can Christian eyes watch that? I don't understand how some of you go all the way through some of the movies, all that cussing. I don't understand. Oh, they cuss everywhere. Yeah, you can't control what they're saying in the grocery store, but you can control what you put in your DVD player. Come on. Have you seen that commercial? No, because I don't watch commercials. Now they tell me they're cursing on commercials. They say they're cursing on cartoons now. They say the video games got cussed on. And you got your kid over in a room with the door closed doing what he want to do. And I tell you right now, ladies, I'd be careful about a man got to leave the room to look at what he want to look at. I'd be real careful about it. It's not that I don't trust him. It's just that I don't trust him. And I'm telling you right now, you know why? The world is trying to suck us in. punishment. According to the word of God, he plucked the hair off. You're going to pay for this. You're going to run around that mess if you want to, but you're going to look stupid doing it. Let me give you this last point. The unparalleled resolve of Nehemiah. How are you going to fix it? Purification. We got a high priest that's married to the daughter of one of our enemies. We have a high priest, one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest. One of the sons of the priest was married to Sanballat's daughter. I like Jeremiah's words here. Jeremiah 13, 28, last day. Therefore, I chased him from me. I like it, Nehemiah, I like that. You know what he said? You can be a priest living a fool if you want to, but you won't be a priest here. I chased him from me. Nehemiah. Make sure I say it right. Nehemiah. You know what? The only way we're going to be able to fix the mess in our lives is to chase stuff out that doesn't belong there. And excuse me, sir, ma'am, it's your job to do it until they're grown enough to do it themselves. Get in the phones. Get on the page. Get in the room. Check the drawers. Amen. Station friends at school that have been hired by you as spies. What did my son do today? What did my daughter have on? That wasn't what she left the house with. She must have had some in the backpack. And then you get home and you say, aha, I know what you wore. You got a picture on your phone. Huh? Yeah. I got eyes where you don't know they are. I don't want my kids to be mad at me. No, it's being mad at you is better than talking the wrong language. I'm watching them walk away from God. I'm watching them. And the parents got pom-poms. Go on, baby. Do you. Same ones come calling you when they do what you told them to do. Did you let the child go? Well, it didn't look that bad. They call me crazy because I preach against prom. I don't believe Christians ought to go to prom. Oh, come on now. No. It's a part of my senior experience. Guess what? I didn't go. I'm fine. You know what I'm saying? Listen to me. I made it. By the way, studies tell us that a lot of teenagers lose their purity on prom night and take their first drink on prom night. I'm glad to tell you today I met my wife as a virgin and I've still never tasted alcohol. I think my experience is better than one that involves that. God help us. Yeah, we have to run it out. The posting. I'm going to put right people. By the 29, here go the priest. Remember them, oh my God, because they have devoured the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Notice verse number 30. Then I cleansed them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, everyone in his business. Did you see that? He said, I made sure that the bad priests were out of there and I made sure the right priests were in the right position. And let me tell you something. The best way to get bad out is to get good in. Are you that narrow? I am. The teenagers used to, they used to ask the teenagers, what is he against? I'm against what? Everything. You know why? Because I've read up on the devil. He's a shyster. And then here's the prayer. God, remember me, my God, for good. Here's what he's saying. When you judge the rest of them for doing wrong, remember me, God, that I did right. In other words, if nobody embraces my pure lifestyle, as long as God advocates it, I'm fine. Just whose approval are you living for? God, you're going to help me with this quickly. I need a couple of, I'll give you an object lesson and then I'll close. Would you help me stand there? Yes, two. Three. Tres. Cuatro. Say, what's next? Five. All right. I want to help you with something. James, go ahead. Go grab and see what he's got back there, would you? Take one of these cups, fellas. One of these here. You go back and get the rest of the stuff. All right. I just want to give you a brief demonstration. Fellas, please don't go so fast. You're killing me. All right. I want to give you one object lesson and then see if we can. Ricardo, take that water and pour about half of the water in each one of those cups. All right. Pour about half of the water. Amen. Well, so let's pour some good old-fashioned water. You like water? I'm trying to learn. I have Chick-fil-A lemonade. Stop there. Good. Let's see. I've got some. Some of you like Coke? Like Coca-Cola? All right. Hold that up nice and high, camera. Good. All right. Let's see. See that water? Let's just put just a little bit in there. All right. See it? Kind of look a little different color then. Okay. Let's put hold it up. Don't block it with your hand. There you go. Let's pour a little bit more. Pastor Mike sends one of the ushers out while he's up there leading the choir. Could you bring me another glass of water? You want it? If it looks like that. But wait a minute. I ain't even poured that much Coke in. It's mostly water and a few little drops of Coke. About half and half. You can't even tell it was ever water. Anybody in here crazy about Coca-Cola? You really love Coca-Cola, okay? Let me ask you this. Have you ever had Coca-Cola with a bunch of ice in it and the ice melted down? Do you like it still? No. Because it's not Coke anymore. It's Coke with a bunch of water. And guess what? Coke with a bunch of water ain't no better than water with a bunch of Coke. This is where most of Christians are today, not just kids. Most. It doesn't even look like water. And you know what we do? We know I'm going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I read the proverb every day. I give my tithes and offerings. I'm a good Christian. Yeah, but what you left out is the movies you watch and the places you go, the clothes you wear, and the music on your iPod. Impure. And it's mixed in with this. And it doesn't even look like it's water anymore. Now, James, bring that trash can in and set it over. Hold that glass right over top of there. Okay? Yeah, let's see. Where'd that water go? Let me see that. So, we've got a Rodney over here. Rodney's going to try to take this hypocrite here. Make him spiritual. Not very spiritual. By the way, if he just dump a little out, just a little bit. Good, stop. Oh, Pastor, I don't know why my life's not better. I went to the altar last Sunday and made one decision. You still look like a hypocrite. Can I tell you, your life does not get purified by just dumping out some bad stuff. You know how your life gets purified? You got to pour in some good stuff. And it may take a little while, but you keep reading your Bible, keep praying, keep serving, keep honoring God, keep going to church. You hang around the right people. You love the Lord. You serve the Lord. You honor the Lord. Listen, you do right till the stars fall. You do right till the last call. Hey, let me tell you, you don't get it by pouring that out. You get it by pouring the good stuff in. Now he went from not ever being able to tell he was water to not ever being able to tell he was Coke. And may God help us when we think it's okay to mix God with mess. I'm pursuing my career. I'm making more money. I'm going to get more education out of it. Is it the wrong language? Then leave it alone. And if you stand here today full of stuff that shouldn't be in your life, drown the mess out with Jesus. He's the pure living water. And when he gets all in, he crowds everything else out. Our Father, thank